We're live and we're local. This is a Juno afternoon on Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll talk with Malou Peabody and Jeffer Clow about this year's ski sale and food drive. Karen Allen and Karen Adkinson will be here to highlight the Theater at Latitude 58's presentation of Fiddler on the Roof. We'll hear about the upcoming Snowvember film series at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, and we'll get the details about Saturday's Sons of Norway Holiday Bazaar. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more coming up right here on a Juno afternoon. And looking at weather today, clear with highs in the mid-30s, and tonight mostly clear, lows in the mid-20s. Aurora forecast is great. Get out there and see them. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native communities across the country are investing in growing the workforce for young Native people. Many tribal nations continue to face a number of challenges in this area, including high unemployment rates. Yet, efforts to address job training and employment for young Native people are underway nationally, statewide, and locally. In South Dakota, the Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation on the Pine Ridge Reservation is building power for the community to create sustainable change and work to end poverty on the reservation. In our State of Change series, Jim Kent takes a look at Thunder Valley's workforce development strategy.
All these big swales and the concrete culvert kind of inlets and outlets that Percy's putting in, that's all for the stormwater.
After sharing a prayer and smudge, 15 Lakota men and women are gathered in the conference room at the 34-acre site of Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation. This is part of their regular morning preparatory meeting that takes place each day before starting work at Thunder Valley's construction site. Matthew Cool oversees the program that's building 21 homes here for tribal members.
The Workforce Development Program is a 10-month training program for young Ogallala Lakota folks between the ages of 18 to 26. They have the opportunity to complete a GED if they don't have that coming into our program, or we provide assistance in Associates of Arts and Bachelor's programs, and simultaneously they're learning the building trades in the form of green building techniques.
So, completing your education and learning a trade that you can use either near your home on the reservation or anywhere across the country. Marie Killswarrior is one of those learning a trade. She arrived on site with no experience and a dream of rebuilding her grandmother's house. 2 years later, she's the assistant construction trainer at Thunder Valley.
I've come to find out that I really enjoy doing carpentry. And so I have never swung a hammer before. I have never read a tape. And yet here I am running layout, doing measurements, making these cuts, you know, and just helping putting up these houses. And I'm still in the learning process, but I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Thunder Valley's workforce development program has seen an increase in attendance and completion rates over the past 3 years. But what's most significant, notes Matthew Cool, is seeing tribal members from one of the poorest counties in the country transitioning to construction jobs off the reservation in nearby towns like Rapid City and beyond. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Tribal leaders are taking part in a legislative hearing and a roundtable this week in Washington, D.C. The Senate Committee on Indian Affairs will hear from tribal leaders Wednesday at a hearing about cultural items being taken and sold in the United States and overseas. The STOP Act seeks to prevent the export and sale of such items. The legislation would prohibit exportation of cultural items, increase penalties, and establish a group of tribal people dedicated to preventing future mishandling of cultural items. On Thursday, a roundtable with tribal leaders will discuss practices to prevent and treat opioid addiction in Indian country. The leader of the Hopi tribe in Arizona is expressing disappointment in a recent federal recommendation to lift a 20-year ban on uranium mining near the Grand Canyon. Chairman Herman Honani says the thought of reversing the ban is indefensible. The Grand Canyon is a sacred area to Hopi people. The tribe not only would like the area protected, but holds the position that the federal government should clean up existing mining sites before promoting new ones. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has proposed lifting the ban as part of the Trump administration's energy development efforts. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu. Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, promoting heart health. Information on helping prevent 1 million heart attacks and strokes at aaip.org/million-hearts.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests today are Jeffrey Clow and Malu Peabody, here to talk about the Juno Ski Sale and Giving Thanks Food Drive happening in conjunction this Saturday. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us this afternoon, Shelley.
Yeah, my pleasure. Great to be here.
I understand that the ski sale has been a Juno tradition for 65 years. Were either of you around for the first one?
No.
No. We have a few volunteers who've been doing this for over 45 years, yes. though.
Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness.
It is a longstanding community tradition. So it's kind of it's a social event, too. It's an opportunity to get to see people that you haven't seen all summer and get started getting excited for the winter season and skiing and snowboarding, which is what this is all about.
Yeah, I wonder if any of the gear is 65 years old that you'll see at the sale.
I hope not.
No, we actually do inspect gear, and we have the right to refuse some gear that we don't deem safe. So no antique skis, some for you.
Phew. Okay. But for those who don't know, what is the Juno Ski Sale?
It's really Juno's largest outdoor gear sale, and we sell both new and used gear. So a lot of folks in Juno, they've been gathering their gear that they want to sell, and we sell it on consignment. They can bring it in on Thursday evening, Friday evening, and Saturday morning. Then we also have local retailers who bring gear that they have had in inventory that they'd like to turn over to get ready to buy new gear for their inventory for the new season. So it's a mixed match of things, and we also get some gear that's shipped to us from other gear sales so that we can meet the needs for the public, like children's skis and such.
It's a pretty big event and very well attended. So do you have any tips for newbies, someone who might be coming from the first time? What's the best way to make sure you can find what you're looking for?
I think get there early.
Early is early?
Well, the sale starts at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
So, you know, you probably want to gauge. This year, Malu and I were talking, and we feel a sense of real excitement in the air. We've kind of noticed a lot of people talking about it. So there likely will be a line. If you come, bring your non-perishable food item, get a cup of coffee, stand in line, that social aspect as well. So then once the sale doors open at 10 o'clock, you can be in there. If you're not sure what you're looking for, Eagle Crest is going to have a tent that's in the middle of the ballroom. It's a fitting tent, and it'll be staffed. And so if you're looking for kids' gear or you're not sure what size ski boot your child wears or what size snowboard, you can always stop at the big orange tent, and we'll have our Eagle Crest staff there to help you out. I think the biggest thing that I always tell people is if you don't know what you're looking for, don't be afraid to ask questions. There's lots of Eagle Crest staff and volunteers for the ski sale that have been doing this for a very long time that will help you find what you need and make sure that it's a success for you.
Yeah. We also have, as there will be folks underneath the Eagle Crest tent to help so that people know exactly if they can't find anybody to help, go to the tent. You will definitely find a helper there. We have helpers stationed throughout the sale. We call them the Help Me Guys. And most of those are volunteers. Some will be wearing T-shirts that say Help Me Guy. but often they don't really have a shirt on that identifies them. They're just hanging around the snowboard table or the ski stand or the cross-country gear section. And, you know, people start talking and they talk to each other and they help each other out. So, yeah, we try to have as many experts in areas at the different sections of the sale to help out.
What's a good price for a used set of skis, like downhill skis for a beginner, a starter pair, and bindings and boots?
Boy, you know, it's all over the map, and it depends upon whether they're new or used and whether they're gently used or roughly used. Yes. So, right. You know, and each year is different. So I am reluctant to even go out there and speculate the price because every year it's all over the map. I think the one thing that I wanted to get out there is that this is a great opportunity to, if you don't know how to ski or snowboard or you're not sure about Eagle Crest ski area or what skiing and snowboarding is all about, we're Eagle Crest is going to have a booth there, and we are going to be there to support the ski sale and help the community learn more about skiing and snowboarding. We'll be selling season passes, snow sports school products, and like Malou said, we're part of this group, and we are there to answer questions and help people find the gear that they need and answer all their questions.
Yeah. A lot depends on in pricing. A lot depends on what people want for their gear because we are a consignment mm-hmm. sale. So folks who bring in their gear that they bought brand new last year, they might, you know, want $200-$300 for that brand new pair of skis that they've not skied that much and they're looking for something new for the new season. Other folks really want to get rid of their gear and they'll put great pricing on. So sometimes you can find the same pair of skis for $100, even as low as $50. For folks checking in their gear, if they really want to sell their gear, I always say price it the best price that you're willing to charge to part with this. If you really want it sold, you've got to, you know, market it and price it to sell fast. If you price something really, really high, a $300 to $600 pair of skis may or may not sell. It depends on what the buyer at that point is looking for and if the buyer knows that it's a good deal.
And I think it's also important, Malou, to remind people it's not just skis and snowboards
exactly,
and boots,
yeah.
But there's a lot of clothing, both kids' clothing, adults' clothing, just any outdoor wear. So it's just a great ski sale community and an opportunity to find out a lot more about skiing and snowboarding in the Juneau community.
Yeah, and that's really a good point, Jeffra, because it's not just skis and snowboards. It's ice climbing gear sometimes. Mm. We get bicycles. We've even had a kayak.
Sorry, what did you say? Bicycles?
Bicycles.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had backpacks, tents, ski helmets, cross-country gear, backcountry gear, telemark gear. As long as it qualifies as outdoor gear, we sell it.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So the Juneau Ski Sale name is a little bit, we've grown so much that we do it all. Jeffra made a great point about clothing. We have families who come and they buy just nice clothing and outfit their entire family at the ski sale.
Yeah, and it's hats, gloves, goggles, helmets.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually what I prefer to look for most is clothing these days.
Yep.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
One last question about the sale, and then we'll talk about the drive. Do you have a shopping strategy? Is it a good idea to, like, make a loop and then do a little price comparison and then come back and make your selections?
That's always my shopping strategy. I always have to go out there and see what's really out there. And I think, you know, you may have in mind what you're looking for. Some people are like, I know I'm going for kids' ski boots.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people are going to go, you know what, I'm just going to go see what they have to offer. The ballrooms are nicely laid out, so it's real easy to kind of do a walk around. And like Malou said, there's all sorts of help me people helping will help you guide for whatever you're looking for.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, that's all very exciting, and I'm sure everybody is just chomping at the bit to get there. So that's on Saturday. And it's last year, you held a Thanksgiving food drive in conjunction with the ski sale, and it went pretty well, so you're going to do it again this year. So how do the two events work together?
Well, Jeffrey and I have been working together for a long time, and sometimes we get together and we talk about ideas and sparks start flying. So we just thought, hey, we've been doing this so long. It's a great event for people to get ready for winter and especially their winter fun. Why don't we also make this event a little bit about helping other people get ready for winter with more simple needs? And we immediately started thinking about the Glory Hole. They start collecting foods, non-perishable foods, for their turkey baskets. And, you know, especially if it's a cold fall like right now, they're dealing with emergency situations and have a hard time planning. So if we have this food drive during the ski sale, that gives the Glory Hole then 2 to 3 weeks to see how much did we raise in food collections, how much do we still need. Mm-hmm. So since we have so many people coming, it's like, well, this could be very successful for the Glory Hole and really fill a void in planning for them. So then we thought, well, you know what? Who wants to stand in line and hold their perishable food? How are we going to collect this? And we're like, well, maybe we can talk to Heritage Coffee. Maybe they're willing to donate coffee, and we'll just go and trade coffee for a food item.
So, yeah. So while there people we are went. Waiting in line.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of food donations are you are acceptable?
Anything that has somewhat of a Thanksgiving theme to it. So we're looking for frozen turkeys. We are going to have a freezer, Jeffra,
at
Centennial Hall.
So bring your frozen turkey.
Yes,
it won't thaw.
You heard it here first.
Right.
There will be a freezer.
I know. So potatoes, fresh or instant mashed potatoes, gravy mix, sparkling cider. Let's make Thanksgiving a little bit festive. Mm-hmm. Stuffing, canned goods like green beans, corn, cranberry sauce, fruit, peas, pumpkin. You know, anything that fits that winter and Thanksgiving theme.
So you bring in your food item, you trade it for a cup of warm coffee while you're waiting to get into the ski sale. Sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yes, and actually the Glory Hole volunteers will be the ones that are going to trade the coffee for a donation. So they're in on this too now.
Yeah, and as it's a pretty big undertaking, how are other local businesses helping out with the event?
You know, we have had Alan Marine help kickstart the food drive. They delivered 20 turkeys to the Glory Hole yesterday already.
Wow.
So
shout out to Alan Marine. That's fantastic.
Exactly. And then we've had Airlift Northwest, LifeMed, Hearthside Books, Mark Kelly Photography, North Star Trekking have all committed to donating turkeys already as well. So any business that's interested in donating frozen turkeys to help with this event, we can pick those up as well.
Fantastic. Well, all that's great news. Where can we find out more information about this?
We have a Facebook page. Eagle Crest has a ski sale page.
Yep. If you go to skijuno.com, you can find the ski sale page. Click on that, and that'll take you right to either the Juno Ski Sale Facebook page. And it'll also give you all sorts of information, and check social media, the Eagle Crest social media sites as well.
Great. We can find the list of items that you want for donation there as well.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. The right. food drive, we've given it a fancy name. It's called the Giving Thanks event. And so if you search on Facebook for Giving Thanks, you'll find us there as well. Yep.
I'm speaking with Jeffra Clow and Malou Peabody about the Juno Ski Sale and Giving Thanks food drive. When and where is this taking place?
All right. I'm going to make sure I hit all the points here. The entire event is at Centennial Hall. And tomorrow, Thursday, November 9th, we start at 5 p.m. where folks can start checking in their consignment items that they'd like to bring to the sale. We will also start taking food donations then as well. And we will have that freezer on site starting tomorrow. So that's tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m. for check-in items. On Friday, November 10th, we have check-in from 4:30 until 8:30 in the evening. Then on Saturday morning, November 11th, we have check-in from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. After 9:30 a.m., we stop taking items, and we change the whole hall around, and then we open the doors at 10 for the sale itself.
Oh, my goodness, you're going to be so busy this weekend.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. And like we said, it's a great social event. It's a great opportunity to find out all sorts of information about skiing and snowboarding in Juneau, whether it's Nordic skiing or alpine skiing, snowboarding, up at Eagle Crest. Eagle Crest is going to be selling season passes, and a lot of other vendors will have information, too, as well. So it's a great community event. Bring your non-perishable item or your frozen turkey and give thanks. And we hope to see everybody on Saturday, November 11th. And more information at skijuneau.com.
Thank you. And thank you both for taking this on, for doing what you do.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks for having us today, too.
Good luck Saturday.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping to reach educational savings goals. Save in Alaska. Study anywhere. Information at uacollegesavings.com.
The tobacco industry has led people to believe chewing tobacco is safe. They market their products to look like gum and mints and promote them in activities like baseball and hunting. The truth is, smokeless tobacco is addictive and causes oral, stomach, and pancreatic cancers. Don't be tricked by the tobacco industry. For free support quitting, call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or enroll online at alaskaquitline.com. This message is brought to you by the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Southeast and Search.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. It's about 25 minutes after the hour. I'm here with Colette Costa and Chris Miller, and they're going to be talking about Snowvember at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. Welcome to the show.
Boy, howdy.
Hello, hello.
Colette's tweeting.
I'm live tweeting this event, if I can get these out before anything happens.
So if you're listening to the radio, you can also follow along on your Twitter. This is live at 3 on KTOO, repeated at 4 on KRNN, so it depends on what time you're listening.
Here's a problem. Juno Afternoon doesn't have a Twitter account. Ha-ha! Got you.
Yes, you do. All right. So what's happening with Snowvember at the Goldtown Nickelodeon? It's that time of year again.
It's always that time of year. Well, I don't know if you guys know about this, but we have this great little movie series that we do called Snowvember. Get it? S-November. Who made that up?
So witty, Costa.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
So tonight, we are doing our final screening of Matchstick Productions' newest film for this year, Drop Everything. And so that'll be screening at the theater at 7 p.m. So if you didn't get a chance to watch the two previous screenings, then you can swing by tonight and catch the film.
We should probably mention these are ski movies.
They're
about skiing and snowboarding
ski and snowboard
like that.
Films. This is the fifth year that we put on the Snowvember film series at the Goldtown. We're raising money in conjunction with the Eagle Crest Foundation to try and get a cabin built up at Crappie Lake up at the Eagle Crest ski area.
I think everybody's on board with that. So tell us what we need to do to help.
Well, so, you know, at this point, we're basically trying to put as much money into the pot as we can. This last season pushed us over the $20,000 mark in the Eagle Crest Foundation fund for a cabin. And so
that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
I could do a lot of stuff with that money.
I know. Like you could build a cabin.
Yeah. And then I could have somewhere to live.
You know, part of a cabin. So we still have a ways to go. But the project's progressing along in the fundraising side of things. And yeah.
Good to hear.
What's your Twitter account called?
At Shalaney, S-H-E-L-A-N-E-Y.
Oh, that's what I'm getting wrong. I can't find anything on here. I'm not generally a big fan of the ski movie because, you know, it involves healthy people doing things outside, which I'm opposed to on all accounts. But it's a pretty funny movie. It's funny? Strangely enough, it's got lots of little comedy bits in it. While these people hurdle themselves off of mountains. Half the time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, don't do that. Why? It's not even a hill. It's just a cliff. And then they're like, yeah, good one.
I mean, I can't do that. I can barely ski. I can barely be upright on skis. And I was telling Jeff or Clow, you know, I'm very grateful for the snow sports school because I've been trying to use it. But yeah, it still looks like fun though. It's scary but fun. My stomach drops when I watch him do that.
Yeah, fun is the right word. But it's a heck of a thing to see, especially on a giant, as close to giant as we're going to get, screen.
That's
right.
Makes
a big difference. Also, crank the volume up big time.
Yeah.
But more importantly, not importantly, equally importantly, but more funnily, speaking of fun, next week-ish, when we show the next movie, we're going to have a big party.
Yeah,
right?
So not this Friday, but the following Friday, November 17th, we're doing a big throwback night. So it's a double feature. We're screening TGR's The Continuum and Standard Films' The Best of TB series. So two classic films that kind of inspired a lot of my generation, skiers and snowboarders. But the big thing for that night is we're going to have a costume contest. So 90s inspired ski and snowboard.
Which I still
wear. That's awesome.
Is it? Like, what does that mean?
But, you know, it's, you know.
Fluorescent.
Go online. Exactly. Fluorescent pink. One pieces, that kind of stuff.
I'm just picturing the opening credits of Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
That's pretty much it.
Except when they're in their active wear.
Exactly. So, but, you know, if you want to just come up dressed as Big Bird and, you know, a ski sweater, that's cool too, you know. So we'll give you some originality points for that. But it's got to be a good Big Bird.
It's got to be. And there's going to be prizes, like cash prizes.
Yeah, we have $150. So $100 goes to first place, $50 for second.
Cash,
you know.
I'm going to win. I'm just telling you right now. Just because I'm a part of this doesn't mean that I'm out of the running because I got a great outfit.
So
cool.
We got some competition.
Third place?
Are you going to donate your winnings to the cabin fund?
She's a maybe. I think she's a strong, right. strong maybe.
I didn't mean
maybe.
To put you on the spot, Colette.
I'm
anyway.
Absolutely not. I'm going to donate to my favorite charity, myself. We also have a third prize, which I'm very proud of, steak knives.
Well, steak knives, huh?
Okay, I don't technically have them yet.
But we're looking. We're
I'm
actively,
the idea
actively looking for these,
steak
these steak knives.
A coupon for a steak knives, even better.
Maybe. We'll see about that.
So, and wait. And
very
so,
fun and exciting.
And those are showing next Friday?
Yeah, so those films for the throwback. So the big costume party is the 17th at 9 p.m. We'll have beer for sale from Alaskan Brewing that they've donated to help fundraise. So
I'm
going
to make them have wine, too, somehow.
Well, we'll see about that. But so anyway, Louis Douglas Inn provided the permit so we can have beer. The brewery donated, which they donated. And so we'll have all of that going on that evening. But then if you can't catch that, we also have a matinee on Sunday the 19th at 2 p.m. And then the following Wednesday the 22nd at 7 p.m. You'll be able to see those.
And
those
it'll
films
still be, well. They'll be shown as double features.
Yeah, they'll
time.
Be shown as double features. We just won't have the costume party and
okay.
all that. So
cool.
So if you just want to catch the films and skip the party aspect of it, we have those options for you as well.
Great.
And also at each of our events, we're raffling off two pairs of skis.
They're
we have
beautiful
a pair
too.
Of handmade skis from Fairweather Skis out of Haines. They're Rippin' Ski. And then we have a pair of 184 Bibby Tours from Moment Skis. And then Jones Snowboards has been awesome again this year and donated a split board. So we have a 160 hovercraft. So
that's cool. You could win like an $800 board for $2.
Literally, yeah. So
I always try for the split board. I don't know what I would ever do with it, but well, they just look so cool.
You'd walk up and you'd have a heck of a lot of fun coming down. So yeah, $2 raffle tickets. So we'll have those for sale at all of our movies. We'll be at the Ski Swap selling tickets there. We'll also be at the Warren Miller Films. And then I believe, I have to confirm this, but the boys at Alaska Powder Descent are going to be showing TGR's new film, I believe, on the 24th. But you'll have to get on Facebook and see if you can track that one down.
Okay. So is Facebook the best place to get information about the films, their titles, their trailers? Gold Town Nickelodeon has a good site,
too. Gold Town Nick on online. And we also have a little bit of presence on Facebook. So you can definitely look us up. Please like us. And we have posted events there as well.
What's your Facebook page called?
Just Snowvember Films.
Snowvember Films. Cool.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Well, Gold Town Nickelodeon is great, too. They have the calendar. They've got the trailers. They've got the schedule.
It's terrific.
Precisely. Yeah. It's everything you need.
It's a great site.
Tremendous,
great
tremendous site.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because I maintain it at 3 in the morning.
And we appreciate that, Colette. All right. Well, Snowvember's awesome. I know you guys are going to have a great turnout. Thank you both for putting together all these awesome activities associated
You're
with
welcome.
The films. And good luck with everything. Is there anything else you want to talk about today?
How much time do we got?
Well, you know,
not much.
If we've got a little bit of time, I'd really like to thank all of our local sponsors. We couldn't put this event on without them. So real quick, we've got the Aurora Project, the Rookery Cafe, Alaskan Brewing Company, AK Reuse, Art Such Photo and Digital Imaging, Bocal Lupo, Alaska Powder Descents, Louis Douglasson, Deckhand Dave's, Life Med Alaska, Foggy Mountain, Borderline, Eagle Crest Gear, The Taqueria, and of course, KXLL.
KXLL.
KTLO.
And come and see the Boris Karloff movie, The Dark Old House, this weekend. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Briefly tell us what it's a little bit about.
Boris Karloff, 1932, James Whale film. He made Frankenstein. It's a terrific old creepy house movie. It's hilarious and ridiculous. And I think I'm playing it Saturday at 8:45. Why? Because Friday night, Campbell and the High Cost of Living is playing at the Red Dog.
No,
live music.
Cross promotion.
The other one, too, Loving Vincent, this great new animated film we got. Over there.
I read up on that one. Sounds good.
It's pretty slick. And then, I don't know. There's definitely something else that is escaping my brain.
Colette Costa, Chris Miller, thank you both
Shelley
for being
Delaney,
here
thank
today.
Thank you.
You're so
thank
welcome.
You
we threw a lot of information out at everybody.
Write it all down.
It's November Facebook page, Gold Town Nickelodeon website. If you need to catch up on anything that we might have run by you a little bit too fast.
Play some Tom Petty.
Awesome. See you guys
here
at the
theater.
Get to a higher place, and we gotta leave by night. out. That's the northern cardinal. It swoops through gardens and eats from seed feeders in the eastern United States. The males are brilliant red, the females grayish tan, but both sport jaunty crests and have large red beaks. If you haven't seen it in the wild, you've likely seen the colorful cardinal on holiday cards and the covers of bird books. Biologist Eric Lind, who heads up the Audubon Center at Constitution Marsh on the east side of the Hudson River, has had a unique experience with the cardinal. During spring breeding season, Eric and his team capture and band birds at the marsh. They're part of an important study because the north end of this 270-acre tidal marsh is a remediated Superfund site. For 8 years in a row, Eric caught the very same female cardinal. 8 years! That's about twice the average age of an adult cardinal. This aggressive female didn't just peck at the bander's fingers like other captured birds, but clamped its strong bill on the soft flesh between his thumb and first finger and held on tight. Yow! Each year that Eric re-caught the bird, he dreaded the experience, yet admired this particular northern cardinal. She wasn't just another pretty face, but a feisty survivor. You can learn more about the study at Constitution Marsh and see a photo of a female northern cardinal on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from the Longliner Lodge, a waterfront hotel in Sitka featuring 14 rooms and suites appointed with refrigerators, TVs, microwaves, coffee pots, and more. Located 5 minutes from the airport and a 10-minute walk from downtown. Online at longlinersitka.com.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. It's about 21 minutes to the top of the hour. And here with me in the studio are Heather Mitchell and Karen Allen and Karen Atkinson, here to talk about theater at Latitude 58. Welcome, Heather and the Karens.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Backup singers now.
Right? It's Karen Atkinson, right?
Yes.
I kind of stumbled there. All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start off by talking about what's your connection to theater at Latitude 58? Heather, you go
okay.
First.
So I am on the board of directors. I am our treasurer, and our board basically oversees production for our season. And so we tap a person to be the producer for the season. And this year,
she didn't back up fast enough.
Yeah, the rest of them took a really big step backwards. And I said, oh, what a great learning opportunity. So I am the season's producer. So this is my first year in doing theatrical production work. So it's the biggest challenge I've got with this production, as opposed to learning my lines or learning my songs. And so then my connection in terms of artistically with the show Fiddler on the Roof is that I play Golda, who is Tevye, our main character's wife.
Great role.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Karen?
I've been with Theater at Latitude 58 since it was founded in 2012. This is my 15th show I've directed for Theater at Latitude 58.
Excellent.
And it's been so much fun.
I understand you get an interesting reaction when people hear that you're directing Fiddler on the Roof.
Usually when people ask me what show I'm working on, they're like, oh, maybe I'll come see that. This one I've had people sing to me in the grocery store. I have heard more renditions of If I Were a Rich Man from people I've never met before. It makes shopping fun, though.
They do the dance as well?
Oh, they do the Tevye shimmy. It's epic.
Shimmying with strangers. And last but not least, Karen Atkinson.
I play a Russian Sasha in every show except the Saturday evening show where I play Yenta, the matchmaker.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. another great role. Congratulations. All right,
you don't want to miss her. She's funny.
We've got one of our youngest actors playing basically one of the oldest roles in the show. And you will not be disappointed because we work a bunch of scenes together. She does a great job.
Theater at Latitude 58 advertises a quote, 360-degree experience to performers. Can you say more about what that means?
Mm-hmm. Would you like to?
Sure. We try very hard to focus on all aspects of theater education because we are an educational theater. We're not a children's theater, although we certainly have a lot of children. We teach theater to all ages. And in addition to teaching acting, singing, and dancing, we also teach technical theater. So you are as likely to see a 12-year-old driving a follow spot as you are an adult. Students work in every part of it, and the students are sometimes adults. We work on costumes. If you've never costumed before, you get to start with patterns. You help build and paint sets. hang and focus lights, drive a soundboard, run microphones, drive backdrops, anything we can come up with. We try to teach people the entire craft of theater instead of just the performance aspects.
Mm-hmm. And that does distinguish us. We have so many wonderful theater groups and organizations in town that work with a variety of ages, and some of them directed at kids. But, you know, we're about the only place you're going to see a 12-year-old learn how to run that follow spot. And, you know, they have to be much older with other groups. So we take pride in being able to provide that.
In fact, sometimes our people will crew, our theater crews for other companies, like we always crew for Juno Dance Theater, because they don't have stage crew, and we do.
And how did this theater company come about? Could you give us a little bit of background information?
Our theater was founded by Cinnamon Simpson in 2012, and she'd done a lot of work in junior theater over the years and kept getting parents saying, well, that looks fun. I want to try it too. So when we founded this theater, we got rid of the idea of just junior theater, and we've worked on creating an inclusive environment. Something else that we do that is a little bit unusual, although not completely in Juno, is that we cast everyone who auditions. That means Fiddler on the Roof has a cast of 53 people if you count the fiddler. And since he's not only on the stage, he gets up on the roof. I think we have to count him.
You have to find a place for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's really unique and exciting.
Absolutely.
The production of Fiddler on the Roof, it opens on Friday, November 17th, and runs through that weekend. It's an excellent choice. Apart from it being a classic, was there any special reason that inspired your company to select this musical?
Well, I think that probably at the time that Karen suggested it, I think we were looking for a large-scale musical that we knew had broad appeal, that we knew is well-beloved and is a classic. But I think what ended up happening, you know, because we had talked about this in the spring, we got into the fall, and it seems to be very timely, the choice. It certainly talks about exclusion. It talks about racial and ethnic prejudices and about treating people differently for lots of different reasons. And so it gives a message of trying to transcend those divisive sort of attributes. And, you know, I think right now the world is feeling a little touchy in those respects. So it's kind of nice to sort of bring it to the fore in a dramatic and an artistic way. Maybe everyone walks out and just does a little thinking about it.
That's a great sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen Atkison, had you ever seen the play before you were in it?
No, this is my first time seeing it, but I've heard great things about it.
You liked it, huh? Yeah, it's a favorite. And, well, maybe you can tell us, for those who have never seen Fiddler on the Roof, what is it about?
It is basically centered, it's based on the stories of a Jewish storyteller whose many stories were based on Tevye the Milkman, and so that is the main character. He has five daughters, Huddle, Hava, Seitel, Bielke, and Spritzup.
Good job.
And it's basically telling the story of the marriage of Hava, Huddle, and Seitel, and how many barriers are breaking down on the way. Because in that village, marriages are arranged, but all three girls choose their own marriages.
Independent women.
Mm-hmm.
Much to the chagrin of the matchmaker.
Yenta does not like this. This does not mean job security for Yenta.
What is the set going to be like? I always kind of like to know what the look of the play is.
Our set is inspired loosely, very loosely, by the 1964 Broadway production, which is the original, where Chagall did the sets. So we have beautiful watercolor backdrops that will be projected because we're at Thunder Mountain High School. But with a cast of 53, the set has to be fairly minimal. So we do a lot with furniture and black blocks. But, of course, Tevye has his iconic cart, and of course there is a roof for the fiddler.
Mm-hmm. Good. And is the cast getting pretty excited about opening night?
Oh yeah.
Pretty ready?
Very
you guys
excited.
Ready?
Yes, mm-hmm. It is very ready.
Excellent.
I can't wait to put on my headscarf.
I don't believe anyone on the show has ever said that.
I'm sure.
The play is Friday, November 17th at 7 p.m. Thunder Mountain High School, and then there's a few more showings over the weekend. Correct me if I'm wrong, Saturday the 18th at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. and Sunday the 19th at 2 p.m.
That's right.
And how can we get tickets?
So we can get tickets through our side books, through Jack's website, through our actors, and also at the door. Did I forget any?
Nope, you got them all.
All right. Anything else you guys would like to add? Best place to get information, you said, is the Facebook page?
You can go to our Facebook page, Theater at Latitude 58, or at our website at www.theateratlatitude58.com. And be looking for information. If you come to the show, you'll see information in our program about our spring productions that will be coming up, as well as on our website and on the Facebook page, because we will be doing auditions again in January.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss out. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys look like a fun bunch.
We are.
That's just Karen and Heather.
Thanks so much for being here today. We'll go out on a song from the musical.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Dear God, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I'd had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a bitty bitty rich digger digger deedle diddle man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with real wooden floors below. There would be one long staircase just going up, and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, squawking just as noisily as they can. And each loud quack and a poop and a whack and a quack will land like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say here lives a wealthy man. If I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a biddy biddy rich digger digger deedle diddle man, I see my wife, my golder, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to her heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Aye, what a happy mood she's in, screaming at the servants day and night. The most important men in town will come to fawn on me. They will ask me to advise them like a Solomon the wise. If you please, Reptavia, pardon me, Reptavia, posing problems that would cross a rabbi's eyes. And it won't make one bit of difference if I answer right.
That was If I Were a Rich Man from Fiddler on the Roof. My last guests were involved in the production of the Theater at Latitude 58, Fiddler on the Roof, next weekend. But now in the studio with me is Frida Nord, and she's here to talk about the Sons of Norway Holiday Bazaar happening this weekend. Welcome to a Juno afternoon.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So, Frida, could you tell us a little bit about how you're connected to the Sons of Norway, who they are, what they do here in Juneau?
Well, it's the Sons of Norway. We are Svalbard Lodge. We've been in Juneau since 1934. And we are sort of the cover club for all of Scandinavians. And we accept anybody that, you know, even if they're not Scandinavians. I mean, we've had a German for president at one time. So,
oh, my goodness, was that a big scandal?
So, no.
Just checking.
So it's we call us Svalbard Lodge and Friends of Scandinavia.
That's so great. So very inclusive. Now, this Saturday, the Sons of Norway are sponsoring a holiday bazaar. What does that entail?
Well, it entails selling stuff by a number of vendors.
And handmade arts and crafts.
Handmade arts and crafts. And we, because if it's over lunch, we will serve soup and bread for a fee, of course. And there will always be coffee and tea and soft drinks, things available for purchase.
Sounds like a great lunch. And there will also be door prizes, I understand.
There will be we will be giving away one of our cookbooks every hour.
What's the cookbook called?
It's called, I don't know, Svalbard. Svalbard, it's
published
all
by
Scandinavian recipes.
Any favorites in there?
Of course.
What do you like?
Well, I've helped put it together, so I got a lot of my favorites in there. We've got lefse recipes. We have the soup recipe that we are going to use to serve called Witch's Brew. We will also be serving something called Dream Cake, which has a long history in Norway, and it's called Verdens Beste in Norway, which means the world's best. And so that will be also for sale.
That sounds delicious. What are some of the best-selling items at this bazaar?
I don't know. Well, I have my own table, so I can't say.
you're not impartial.
No, I have my own table, so I do fairly well.
And what is it that you make?
I do greeting cards, photographic greeting cards, mainly flowers. I do Christmas decorations. This year I have handmade knitted pumpkins.
Cute.
And so I make things because I enjoy making them. And then if sometimes for myself and then I think, oh, well, I didn't get the right size or whatever. So I put it out for sale.
Yeah. What are some other popular items at the bazaar?
Well, there will be woodwork. There will be jewelry. There will be blown glass items, which are beautiful. There will be knitted items. There will be, I have one booth that says Scandinavian crafts. And so I don't have a clue what that will be. So some of this is a surprise to me, too.
Wow, mystery items are
mystery
always exciting.
Items, right.
That's great. And when and where is it taking place?
It's taking place at the Juno Yacht Club, and it's between 9 and 2. And
it's this Saturday.
And it's this Saturday.
Yep, 11:11. And where's the best place to go to get more information?
You can call me, 789-6974.
All right. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Frida Nord, representing the Sons of Norway, telling us all about the Holiday Bazaar happening this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Juno Yacht Club. There will be soup and bread and coffee and door prizes, cookbooks, handmade arts and crafts. What have I forgotten?
I think you covered everything.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Frida?
No, you did a good job of summarizing.
Well, thank you very much for being here today, and thank you for telling me about the Sons of Norway and Friends of Scandinavia. That was something I had never heard of before, so I'm excited to learn more.
And that's one of the reasons why I come down every year, is to try to drum up interest in the Scandinavian arts and crafts and to come join us. We can also have membership blanks available.
Yep, it's good it's a good thing you mentioned that too. Well, thanks and best of luck at the bazaar on Saturday. I hope to see some of your cards. And I hope everyone has a great time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in today to a Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we'll talk with UAS Professor Dan Monteith about the second annual UAS Power and Privilege Symposium. And Todd Hunt will be here to highlight this weekend's concert by the Amalga Chamber Orchestra. We'll talk about next week's presentation by the Juno Audubon Society, and Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. That's tomorrow, live at 3 on KTOO, repeated at 4 on KRNN, and always available on demand online at ktoo.org. Jeff Brown is the producer. I am the host. This has been a Juno Afternoon. Until tomorrow, have a great Juno evening.